This is the Radio Ronin Show on Podbash.com.
No, I can't do it.
Is that your ugly cry face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how that is.
It's identical to his poo face.
I do this. Yeah.
No, that's you. Even look cute when you do. God, I hate you. I just hate you.
No, you don't.
He looks pretty cute. Kenny's a cute crier.
I'm a cute crier.
I look like Corky from Life Goes On when I cry.
Yay!
So hey, everyone, welcome to the show. This is Radio Ronin. I'm Chunga. With me, as always, the lovely, the talented, the unicorn, Mr. Kenny D.
Nay,
is right there. The sparkly, the effervescent DJ Takara.
Sup, suckers?
And the smartest man in the room, Thug Leaf, DJ Spinari. There he is right there. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Radio Ronin. So, apologies right off the bat.
For what?
Wait.
Well, we had an incident last week, which many of you will recall because I heard from lots of you. We crashed our servers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you guys, crashed the servers. It's fun to get a call from your hosting service going, "What have you done?" we posted Radio Ronin. Why? Everything's falling apart. And it wasn't just our podcast. It was like a lot of podcasts that we crashed. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Oops.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're trying to increase all of that
we're
as fast
sorry
as we
for
can.
The awesome.
I want to say take it easy to the listener, but
no.
We don't.
No.
Just listen early enough and you'll get the opportunity.
We posted it, Spinar and I posted it and had a couple thousand listens just in the first couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. And I knew it was going to be a big day when that happened. But we posted it, I think at 1 in the morning. And by 11 a.m., it was crashed.
I think it was the name of the show that you, what we called it.
What did we call it?
I can't remember.
We called it Naked Margot Robbie. It was really weird.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
then
did.
Naked Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. And for some reason, I thought we just called it Hillary Clinton, but no, we didn't.
I think we did.
I think we did. Why would people look up Hillary Clinton?
I think politics are just kind of it right now. That's everybody wants to hear us.
It or it with an SH in front of it. I'm not sure.
It with a capital SH. Absolutely. Okay. So thanks to everybody. It was a record-setting episode. Still, even as we're recording this, it's still getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listens every hour. So
cool.
Huge. Thank you so much. Speaking of politics, I thought I was going to lose a ton of followers by bashing on Hillary Clinton the way that we did.
Yeah.
And I think I've lost four or five.
Okay.
And to that, I say thank you to our Dem friends. Thank you to the Democrats for understanding. This is just one guy's opinion, and we love the Democrats, everybody,
right,
as much as we
thank
just,
you for your patience.
We're just not a fan of your candidate.
And for knowing that both candidates are pretty awful.
Yeah. And you have to understand, I'm a liberal conservative, if that's
sure
possible. But
You mean you have your own mind, and you're not swayed by one exact party?
I was talking to my friend Judd the other day, and he goes, "So now, explain to me your political leanings." I said, "It's really easy, dude. I am a fiscal conservative. I am a conservative on national security. I am a liberal when it comes to social stuff, like gays, you know,
yeah,
whatever. Like them gays. I couldn't care less." He goes, "Oh, you're a libertarian."
That's what I would say, too.
I'm like, "No, I'm not." He's like, "You're a libertarian."
I mean, you're probably not, because even libertarians can get a little bit crazy. In fact, their platform is just like, legalize it.
Yeah.
And
smoke
legalize
weed every
everything
day. Doesn't
right
matter. Yeah. I'm definitely not that guy.
Yeah.
But I am very much a socially left-leaning person. You know, this election is kind of tough for me. It's a weird election for me, honestly. I think it is for a lot of people.
Well, I mean, you kind of sound like one of the great heroes of this election, Bernie Sanders, who is really just, he wanted to
He's
be
a communist.
He wanted
to sound like Bernie Sanders.
But the millennials love him. Millennials love this
they
guy.
Do, they do love him. He endorsed Hillary Clinton, finally.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was
gosh
weird.
You know, it's kind of cool to have a guy who's all for the 99%, and we're gonna buck this system. We're gonna buck this two-party system.
But I love how he tried to kind of pad it. He padded it because he didn't want to let his people down.
Yeah.
So he padded his endorsement by, I think it was kind of like when you go to the 7-Eleven to buy condoms, and you end up buying a ballpoint pen and a copy of Lowrider magazine,
yep,
and a Dunford donut. You know, you have to do, because he
like,
was like,
"Want one shoe?"
I thank you for voting. I'd like to endorse Hillary Clinton, but I would also like to endorse Velcro. I would like to endorse, I'm going to endorse my shoelaces and certain birds and soup. You know, he's endorsing like all kinds of random things to hide them. Oh, and Hillary Clinton and, you know.
So it's really like me when I go to Blockbuster and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get Fright Night, Romancing the Stone. Stop that. And then Species will be good. And then I'll put, like, yeah, Jaws the Revenge underneath.
Yeah.
Just to hide the R-rated naked one, yeah, somewhere in there.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's kind of what I thought he was doing. You know, button fly jeans.
I bet he wears button fly jeans.
Orthopedic walking shoes.
With Velcro.
Naps, certain birds. Oh, wait, I did that.
Certain birds.
Certain birds.
The ones who land on his finger.
Hey, yeah, it's sure not the the bald eagle, is it?
No, no. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting, but we probably won't spend too much time on politics this week. Of course, our heart goes out to all of our friends in Dallas. We have a lot of people. A lot of people that listen in Texas. That's one of our number one markets, actually, is Dallas and Houston and Austin and San Antonio. We have tons and tons of listeners down there, and so our heart goes out to the fine citizens and police officers in Dallas, and we love you guys all Absolutely. Very much down there. Thank you for listening to us. But, man, what a hard year. Oh, my gosh. That's why I'm starting every episode. I'm just crying.
Oh, you were crying. That's I thought you were laughing.
No. I'm laughing. Why would I be laughing? This is like
sounded like the air being like let out of a balloon.
That's what I
thought.
Like
we were having
cry.
A party.
She thought we were having a party.
Jess cries at parties. So that's
I'm PMSing. It's not my fault.
Are you PMSing today? Is that what's going what? On? Are
no.
you PMSing?
No.
Normally, be honest.
Normally, I can feel it when you're PMSing. Oh.
You don't have to feel it because yesterday, last night, she says, I'm starting my Aunt Flo's coming to town.
What? When did
she
say that last night?
She said it over text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, oh, I didn't.
She said, I'm going my period.
I'm pretty sure.
No, you really did.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what was weird? Is I
will find the proof.
No. I said to Spinari last night, I'm like, oh, I've got like the worst headache, and I feel like I have cramps.
No, you I did. Really did say
I
did. That.
I said, I wonder if this is what it feels like when
you
a woman
menstruates. You get proxy cramps?
I got them from her, I think. That's so, what happens when you're empathic, dude.
You're
That's
getting the menzies from her.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Jess comes over to the house, and, you know, she's a mess, as always. And she comes over to the house. And
so it's... You know,
and I'm like,
can we not?
I'm like, are you okay? She's like, no.
And you're like, neither am I.
And I was like, I just took some leaves. Do you have any vinyl?
Yeah, she and did then, say and that then she's PMSing
like,
in her text.
And then I was like, girl, I' 'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch me 2.5 hours of the Gilmore Girls, and then I'm going to go kick his ass.
Yeah.
Jess comes
over. That was
over,
last night.
A mess night. Like always.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
But that's how
Thank
we are.
Thank you.
No, how would you explain my visits? Now I'm kind of curious.
What?
Oh, listen, this is, like I said, I've said this before, we're at the threshold of hell. We're all a mess.
Right.
Right now.
Remember when you found me on the fetal in the fetal position?
I
sitting did. At your front door? I didn't even I knock. Do. I just laid there, and you opened the door.
Again, it was another empathic thing, because there was no knock. I was sitting there, and you think we're kidding. And I said to Spinari, I'm like, something's not right. And I went open the door, and Kenny's right there. I was like, come on in.
That's not a party.
Well, we found a way to fix. We have found a very unlikely crutch. And this is a crutch. Well, this is everybody's crutch, apparently.
Yeah. Everywhere you go.
And we are not immune to this.
And I'm not talking Facebook or anything.
No.
You drive, and hopefully you're not trying to spin the Pokestops. But
yeah.
People are on their phones playing Pokemon
yeah.
Go.
Yep. Yeah.
Everywhere.
everywhere.
We're not immune.
It's blown my mind.
We're totally doing this. It's, you know what? Listen, anybody who wants to hate on this, I would have loved. Kenny actually asked me, he said, listen, he was strategizing. Kenny was thinking about branding and marketing for Radio Ronin is what he was thinking about. And he came to me and he goes, Chunka, please don't be the guy. You need to be the one holdout.
Yes.
This is a real conversation. He goes, Chunka, please don't do this. You've got to be the one guy that's too cool to go do this. You're going to sit and make fun of the rest of us because, and I'm like, you, Kenny, I'm playing. Look, I got a Pikachu. Hey, we're all hooked.
You got a Pikachu? Yep.
No.
I do.
I thought it was a Pikachu. You have to understand, for the first day I played it, everything was a Pikachu.
Right?
Everything, because I didn't know the names? No.
You're the mom who's saying, quit playing Nintendo. You're like, Mom, it's a PlayStation.
Yeah. I'm like, look, I got a Pikachu. They're like, no, you didn't. No. And then I switched it. Then it was like, oh, I got to find me... Is that Pokemon right there? Is that Pokemon?
Yeah.
I was, you know.
Is that a Monchichi?
I was like, I was one of the golden girls for the first day that I played this game. We're all hooked on it now.
We first started playing after Bash Music on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was great fun.
We do Bash Music. It ends at approximately 1 o'clock. And this is when you, Chunga, this is when you downloaded it. And I was like, this isn't going to go well.
I didn't get it. It was Morgan Hayes, who's one of our new resident DJs at Bash Music.
Yeah.
And I was going through my social media, Spinari was playing, and I was like, I don't get this, and Kenny, you and Morgan were sitting there, and I said to Morgan, I said, what is this? And he said, oh, it's a Pokemon game, and he tried to explain it, but he doesn't speak Chunga very well, and so you had to kind of jump in.
Yes.
And between you and Morgan, you helped me understand what it was, and then I was hooked. I was like all the way hooked after that, and it was the coolest thing ever.
Well, you know, I gotta be honest, the first time that I actually, like, went out to public areas to play it, it kind of blew my mind, the entire thing.
It kind of did me, too.
Because I was walking around Jordan Landing with my friend, and we're like, everyone here is playing it. And, like, you're talking to complete strangers, you're like, hey, what's up? I see you laid down a lure module here.
It is...
It's people, so weird.
People are out of the house.
It's crazy.
They're walking around, they're exercising, and
socializing.
They're socializing.
Yep.
So
1:30 in the morning, we decide to leave your house.
And we're wandering my neighborhood.
Very nice neighborhood here in West Jordan.
Thank you very much.
And
this is not a neighborhood, can I just tell you, this is not a neighborhood that you walk in at night. And it's not for fear of crime, it's for fear of...
disturbing others.
Well, disturbing others, and we've got some pretty tight security around here. And I was full-on prepared to be shot by security that was driving around, because we're wandering the neighborhood in the middle of the night.
We wander, we find a church, because the Poke Stops are often by churches or places of business.
Right.
And we stop there. Jess lays this lure module, whatever.
Start bringing in the wild Pokemon.
Yeah, it brings Pokemon out.
And so we sit there for like half an hour, and we're walking around. Chunga at some points was like, I'm going to leave the group and make sure I get some even more wild Pokemon. We just laugh at him because nothing happened.
I was confused. There was no strategy.
You have to stay by the lure for the Pokemon to come to you.
No, there was no strategy. It was me just like, here, Pokemon. I didn't get how it worked.
We would just turn around. You're like wandering in the sprinklers, just like kind of out in the distance.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, we see this car pull up and we're like, oh, let's go talk to the neighborhood watch.
Security or the neighborhood watch is coming over to say, you damn kids.
Meanwhile, it's these two girls. They pull up and they've got their phones hanging out the car window. They're like, hey. And we're like,
did you guys drop a lure?
Yeah. We dropped a lure module. And also, here's Chris Hansen with To Catch a Predator to take me in, basically. Exactly. And these girls were like, I hurt my leg, so we're just driving around catching Pokemon. Yep. And I was like, this is super tacky.
Yeah.
This is all the way tacky.
I do have to say that Greg Pascal of Greg's Guide to New Music saw Morgan, Takara, Kenny, Spinari, and myself. And Greg's like, yeah, I'm going home.
He did. Greg, who usually stays till pretty late.
He's normally the guy that's here till 6 or 7 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, with one sock on, drunk off his ass. and he saw us break out the smartphones, and he was like, I'm not going to be a part of this. And off he went.
It was the weirdest thing.
Yep. Yeah.
But
he wanted no part of it.
We're hanging out near the church. All of a sudden, I see these two stoners walk up, and they're all, what they say?
Shadowy figures, like, they're wandering out of the bushes.
They raise their hand like, I'm Katniss, and they're all, hail!
Yeah, hail!
And I'm like, are you guys, and it's kind of exciting because it's 2 a.m. and some strangers are starting to talk to you. And you're like, is this a good thing or bad thing? They're like, hey, what color are you guys? And I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because like, you our guys first weren't night, level five.
I said, I'm Caucasian.
I know it's kind of dark, but I'm very pasty.
I'm not Hispanic.
And apparently, you know, they're team red or something, and, you know, you're the only one that knew.
Yeah. Well, I was, like, level one at the time, I think.
I was, too.
Right. But we were catching some awesome Pidgeys. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh, yeah, Pidgeys. We were.
But, you know, and then they're like, hey, man, there's this great gym over by this park. Just start walking, and you'll find it. And it's past 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. We're walking around West Jordan.
I'm in flip-flops.
Yeah, and I think we kind of get lost a little bit.
We got way lost.
A little bit.
We wandered
for
miles.
Luckily, Pokemon Go has a GPS in it. But it can show you the streets.
But it doesn't take you back home. It just shows you the streets.
And for people who know, the gym, it's not like a literal gym. It's,
no.
The gym is where you go to battle other Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. We would never go to a real gym.
No, of course not.
Yeah. I mean, ew.
But what's funny is we'd be in someone's neighborhood. Now it's 2:30 in the morning, and we get this little buzz, and they'd be like, I'm a Geodude. And then we'd be like, get the Geodude. We'd be in the middle of the street, about 4 or 5 of us, like pointing our phones at people's houses, be like, get it with a ball. Get it with a ball. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, yeah.
What has happened to us?
But we had so much fun.
The problem, you know, one of the biggest problems is Takara, because she's from Holden. And so standing in the middle of the street is not all that uncommon for her. And I had to keep grabbing her and saying, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. Get out of the street. She will be the first one to die.
Because
I've had to pull her away out of danger. Even last night. So she comes over last night. She's a mess as always. And I had to grab, I gave her a hug and a Diet Coke. And I'm like, there. Let's go get some Pokemon. And she's like, yeah. And out she went. And was gone, and she was fine like that fast.
Yeah.
That's all it took. I'm sorry, Takara. I wish that were not the case.
No, it's but, true. Yeah.
We're going to find her and a skunk. Like on the side of the road.
Like someone would have just kind of pulled her leg to the side of the road.
Uh-huh. Pokemon girl.
Ooh, I don't want to touch her. She's roadkill.
Aww.
And you'll still see one of the Pokemon bouncing on her cracked smartphone. Yeah. So
no, it was just weird. It was like the Purge, but with people just staring at their phone.
Yeah.
Well, the best part of the night, though, is we had wandered. Keep in mind, it's now like 2:30, 2:45.
Yeah.
Wait, your favorite part or my favorite part?
Well, I think everybody's favorite part.
I think it was everyone's favorite part.
Because my favorite part was the water in the ditch.
Me being the airbender or the waterbender?
No, before that.
Oh, before that.
Well, actually, okay, my second favorite part, just to build up to the best parts, was Morgan and I, we were walking. All of a sudden, you know when sprinklers or something or water comes through a ditch?
Yeah.
And it all of a sudden starts coming really quickly and it pushes all the leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden this water started coming down the ditch.
Yeah.
And we see this giant box. Like I'm talking box.
Yeah.
Not a little one or a spout one.
No.
Box of goldfish.
Crackers.
Crackers.
Goldfish crackers.
Yeah, not actual goldfish.
Right.
And it's being pushed down this water well.
In the gutter.
Yeah, and I'm like, that is some strong water. And me and Morgan and I, it's getting late. We're laughing our heads off in the middle of the street.
Well, it was very, very bizarre because we're in this very pristine, very nice, affluent neighborhood. And a very nondescript box comes floating by. Like, where did this come from? Who dropped a box of goldfish
in
the gutter?
It's almost like Meowth was messing with us a little bit.
Probably.
It kind of creeped me out, to be honest with
you.
Because I was kind of expecting an article of clothing to come floating by, or maybe a severed flange,
or a dead Takara,
And that was fun.
And then we have to hop over the sprinklers at the park because we hung out of the park for a while.
I was in flip flops.
Yeah,
I am not the most I'm not the most agile guy in flip flops. Nobody is. Let's be honest.
I was pretty agile.
Shut up.
I made it past the sprinklers.
Sprinklers are turning on all over the place, man. It was time to go. Somehow Kenny and Spinari and Morgan, everybody made it. I didn't.
Yeah. Here's what happens. When sprinklers are on, you see that they're on. You don't jump right over the spout. You go right in the middle because, you're going to get hit by a little bit of water.
Yeah.
But it's the least amount of water.
Yeah. I think I'm losing my night vision in my old age. Maybe.
Right. And I'll explain these sprinklers. The water was coming like right up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was so like a
it
wall.
It wasn't to the sides.
Water.
It was a wall.
It was like Fantasmic at Disneyland. It's this massive jet of water.
I turn around. We're all in the street again. You're coming off the grass, and you try to do this like you're doing double dutch.
It was like The Matrix or something.
Like The Matrix?
Well.
And you come down, and you like I don't know how you caught so much water with your shoe or whatever.
My flip-flop, dude.
But you were like part of Cirque du Soleil, like the water one.
It was like I was in O.
Yes. only, not only did you like, you know, bend so much water, but it was followed by profanity afterwards. Things that went right up your shorts.
It was pretty bad.
You were soaked by the end of it.
Yeah, I kind of did the silly dance trying to avoid this and became some dance. Sort of a waterbender.
You did almost from the same Avatar. Thing last night.
I don't know what's going on. And I did it last
night.
Again.
Last night.
Wait.
We went Pokemon hunting last night.
Wait. And what?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I told you she came over. She was a mess.
She was a mess.
As
so
yes, always. Yeah.
Pokemon hunting. And we were over at a different park, and sprinklers came on. We're like, oh, no. My dad, the sprinkler's turning on. Don't separate there. Don't. You're going to get wet. Okay. And then his foot goes right where the sprinkler
it shot straight up again.
Shot right up his pants.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we
what
fell into a sand
deal?
Pit, and then there's sand everywhere. And
it's horrible.
It was bad.
You're covered.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. And I was like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
I'm done with this Pokemon thing. But I'm so not.
So
so now my wife is totally into it. Everybody's totally into it.
Well, remember, we were on our way back to your place. Hopefully we could find it. And we're on a pretty busy street.
Yeah.
And there were a few other people playing Pokemon
people
as well.
People are out. It's a Saturday night.
Meanwhile, we're just, our eyes are down at our phones at 3 a.m.
We're walking roadside.
Yes.
Like a weird band of techno gypsies. With our phones and you know, we're wandering, and a car comes speeding by, and Kenny is our point man. Yeah. And the guy, this is what we hear, okay? Guy comes screaming by, and you hear, Pokemon is for faggots. And Kenny goes, woo! Like he's a Viking. It was some sort of weird battle cry.
He was cheering.
He was I don't know why. He was cheering.
I'm like, Kenny, no. No, Kenny,
don't
no.
Don't cheer to that.
Listen.
I couldn't really disagree with the guy.
No, he said Pokemon, and then my arms went up, and I went, woo, and then I heard... Is for our, you know, Pokemon.
It's for faggots.
For the slur, for faggot. Sounds like
it's a slur, but we didn't say it. We're just telling the
and
story.
And I was right in the middle of my woos, and I couldn't pull back the woo, though I was loudly proclaiming. And
I think you're remembering it much different.
I was.
I think he is.
It was me. It was me. I know what it was.
Pokemon is for faggots.
And see, that's what it was.
And you just knew they were playing too.
Oh, like, yeah.
Why were they out? Were.
How would they know?
Yes.
You know, and it was really, I laughed and I laughed. And I laughed. It was like something out of The Hangover when he's like, paging Dr. Faggot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was so funny. And it was funny the way Kenny cheered. I was crying.
I asked that you didn't tell people about Whoa! That.
I think he went, yes!
And then he kind of kicked the air like he was Elvis in his latter years.
Right. And I was showing him the one I just caught, too. So I was really proud.
Yeah.
Not ashamed.
It was so awesome.
Oh, man.
Now I am going to drive by and say that slur to somebody. But yeah. I just know that somebody will be armed and start squeezing off rounds the minute I say it.
I mean, have you noticed?
They won't get the charm.
Have you noticed that the app is broken 40% of the time?
It is on iOS.
It's fine.
I was following Zach Bagans and Aaron Goodman and Billy Tolley of Ghost Adventures, and they were out hunting Pokemon today, and they were furious, as was Afrojack
was
the DJ,
too.
Because it wasn't working.
Well, so it's an iOS thing.
It is an iOS thing.
That is the lamest thing ever. I was leaving a movie. I was at the Salt Lake Gateway to see a movie, which, by the way, this is the best thing for the Gateway in years.
Like ever.
Yeah.
People are because like, there's a mall here?
There's a let's go to the fountain. There's a fountain here? Might as well take a bath.
Come on, let's
right,
be honest.
I know. And so
I have this thing.
Oh, no.
I have this thing. You know that saying, that 50 Cent saying, I love you like a fat kid love cake from the 50 Cent song?
Yeah. Yeah.
I changed it to, I love you like a Mexican kid loves a public fountain.
Accurate.
Hey, listen.
I caught
don't hate on me, Mexicans. You know it's true.
Yeah.
So,
I was driving by that fountain.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I just caught a meow. And yeah. there's a Pikachu right here.
In the fountain?
What?
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Did you get it?
And I caught it 5 times, and then it kept getting away.
Yeah.
And then every time I would actually catch him, it would say, gotcha. It would freeze, so I would just see the ball kind of floating there.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't give it to me, and I'm like, oh, so I got to reset it. I got to, you know, double-click and send it away. And it would never give me the Pikachu. So after catching it, I wasted probably 30 Pokeballs on that thing.
Yep.
And I never got the Pikachu.
I tell you.
And I don't know if
Pokemon
it was just,
problems right there.
Yeah, I mean, first world problems for sure.
Yep. But the struggle is real.
It's funny because, like, when I was by myself and I wanted to be like, hey, two people over there, I'm looking at my phone too.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as comfortable than when you were someone
else.
You're
a grown ass man. It's
well,
weird.
It's more fun when you're in a group of friends for sure. And you feel a lot more comfortable socializing with other groups of people when you have your own group of people with you.
Yeah. I actually tried to pass it off like I was texting somebody. Because I like kept tapping the screen like, oh no, I'm just talking to my friend.
Uh-huh. Oh. When in reality, it's just you missing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I love it. I don't care if people hate on it. I'm having so much fun with this. I might possibly be the worst Pokemon Go hunter ever.
You're beating me. You're higher level than
I am. I think I am beating this.
I am the worst out of our group right now.
But I'm
what
having way too
you?
Much fun with it.
6.
What?
Yeah. I'm level 6, but I'm almost level 7.
10? Yeah.
Of course you are.
Okay, wait, hold on. What team are we?
Instinct.
What
Instinct.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why would you go yellow?
She's one of them.
Yellow. No one uses yellow. You are literally the only people I know on Team Yellow.
Seems like a privileged team.
Literally. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really?
It's a good team.
Really?
It's a good ride.
What team are you?
Sure.
Valor. Red.
Yeah.
Listen, you Pokemon Go players, so you want to get on a winning team, join Spinari, Kenny, and myself and join Team Yellow.
Or join Team Red because Team Red and Blue are the ones that actually hold most of the gyms.
Clearly, you've not seen the gyms around these parts.
Seriously.
Yeah, okay.
So, do you want to hear something bad about... I mean, just many of the bad things. I mean, people have been... Basically, if you put a lure down... Yeah. I mean, and this is what happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
A bunch of people got robbed.
Yeah.
Because they're staring at their phones being like, there must be some wild Pokemon here. People are like... Snatch their phones. Hey, give me your wallet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're a pedophile and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You could lure people, but generally it's going to be 17-year-old
the
stoners.
The New York Transit Authority had to put out a big social media campaign today because down in the subways, apparently there are a lot of Pokemon in the New York subway system. And people are looking to catch them, and they're beyond the yellow line down by the third rail.
Oh, my gosh.
And people are literally falling onto the tracks trying to get to their Pokemon.
Oh, my gosh.
And then there's the story about the guy who came to a full stop on the freeway trying to catch a Pikachu.
Yeah.
Constantly like a 5-car pile.
People are finding bodies.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about that one, too.
Yeah.
Also, this, on iOS, and I actually made this mistake. I tried to log into the Pokemon Center or whatever to make a login, and the servers were full, and I'm like, and it says you can also log in with your Google account. And so you put in your Google email account, and now this is a big problem. Big privacy problem, because now Pokemon, or Nintendo, they have all that information for millions of people, and they have...
Oh, shit.
They have account...
They have
privileges for Google Drive, Google, like, Gmail.
Oh, that's
everything.
Horrible.
And I'm sitting here going, okay, I should delete that. But I don't want to lose all my Pokemon.
No, you can't. I'm convinced, and I said this night one, I think it was to you and Morgan, Kenny. May have been Spinari, I can't remember. But I said, I think this is a big CIA experiment. I really do think the CIA is behind this, and they're tracking.
Yes.
They're finding a way to track movement and phones and people's, you know, behavioral patterns through smartphone usage or something.
I think this will end up being a sponsorship deal. I think restaurants will be like, hey, make us a Pokebase or whatever.
As a guy, you know, when you do radio, when you do morning radio especially, what you really are behind the scenes is you're a marketing guy.
Yes.
Is really what you are. You wear a lot of different hats, but you're an events guy and a marketing guy and an actor, basically, is what you are. I'm looking at this going, oh, the fun I could have had on the radio with this. The things I could have done with this. And then I'm starting to see people that I know, my friends that own Great Harvest Bread and all these. It's like, hey, we're a great Pokemon stop. Come on in and grab some bread, and there's a billion Pokemon in here for you.
Yeah.
People are using this for their marketing, and good on them
doing
that. It's like, the first thing I did was ran to Great Harvest.
Do you guys want to hear about my $1 million idea?
Okay.
Yes, Kenny.
I don't think you meant that.
No, of course I meant it.
It's to steal their idea.
Uh-huh.
And because there will be clones out there. I mean, people
I would
will
love
use...
to see a Super Friends version of this.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be cool if you could go catch, like, Solomon Grundy? Okay.
Yes, but then you have to go to the sewer. But
right.
Here's my plan. And I actually talked
or
to a
Mantis.
Guy. I talked to a guy 2 days ago because yeah. he's an app developer. Okay. So we'll see if someone's listening that wants to help. Join on in. We're going to use this geocaching, and I'm saying we, like we're going to. I would love to. This I think this would be awesome. The geocaching, the walking along the map system, this app will only work at night.
Okay.
And it's a ghost finder.
Yeah, isn't it great? I think it's a great idea.
So you like, and it will take you to like cemeteries or like around scarier buildings,
yeah.
and you'll be walking around instead of like just seeing the ghost on your map or whatever, and you being like, I'm going to click on you. You like your phone will buzz or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, there's a ghost here.
And you'll turn around and you'll have to take a picture of this ghost before it gets too close. And it's going to take, you know, kind of like I talked about this game called Fatal Frame on the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's based on Japanese lore.
Right.
Whereas if you take someone's picture, you take their spirit.
Right.
Yes.
And that's the only way to defeat a ghost.
So that's how you
I thought that was
it.
Only if they were smiling.
No.
No.
Well, I thought that's why Asians don't smile in pictures. Because they didn't want their soul taken.
It's communism.
Oh.
That's why they don't smile.
All right.
No, so... But yeah, I want to use that. I want to make sure that you have to get the best picture of this ghost. I would love to be involved with the creation of these ghost creatures.
Right.
Or even just like, even if it's like...
It's a great idea.
A shambling zombie coming towards you or something like that. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You know what's really going to happen. You know what's going to happen. There will be lots of lawsuits about it, but you know, somebody will eventually crack that code and then we'll have all kinds of these.
Yes.
You know who's really worried? And I have friends. You guys suck. Friends that have... sunk a significant amount of money into VR, and right now they're going, oh, we're dead, because this is going to kill VR. You watch. Yeah. It's going to kill virtual reality because this has been embraced so much faster than portable VR goggles, and you don't have to wear anything and you don't have to clear out all the furniture in your house.
Right.
You can just go walk around with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the mutation and the evolution, the successor to VR. You watch this. It will. It's going to make VR go away.
I think you're totally right.
I bet you money.
Yeah.
I think if this is volume one or stage one of this game.
Which it is, yeah.
Which it is. I think the ways they can improve it is not make it just like, hey, you're walking around and of course a Pokemon's going to show up. Like, mm-hmm. you have to actually go find a Pikachu somewhere.
Yeah. Right. Listen, guys, if you have not played this, this is...
And people have already turned us off. If you hate seeing this on Facebook, it's all over Facebook.
I sure hope not, because I think this is the new Pong. This is what Pong was when I was a kid. When I was a really little kid. Okay, like really little. I'm not that old. When I was really little. how Pong and how the Atari 2700 kind of set the world on its ear. You're seeing the beginning of this happening right now. This is kind of... the next thing, if they do it right. And it'll be refined and developed and polished to where we can all laugh when we're all old about how, remember how stupid this game was and we ran around and played this and look where it's at now, kind yeah. of a thing, you know?
Unless they improve it significantly by actually like you winning something or getting some sort of reward or gift card or something, I think this will be Candy Crush. Honestly,
really?
I think it will have the duration of Candy
I can
Crush.
See I think the applications.
About 2 years.
I think it'll die out, yeah, if they don't.
I can see movies playing out where you go out and there will be some computer-generated actors that are out there in your world and you're watching it through this screen and you'll have to go take part in this movie. And
I see what you're saying. I'm saying like this game itself.
Oh, this game itself will go away.
It's like the
Wii.
Yeah. Nintendo's really good at this. They're like, this Wiimote? Is so cool. And everyone's like, yeah, it's almost like you're really playing tennis. And then you're like,
no, it'll continue to evolve.
I like sitting down to play video games. Or it's like, I'm not going to go out of my house to go to this gym when a kid is just going to cream me because he's been playing for days and weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it will lose its point. Like, as soon as someone levels up.
Well, it already has, you know, my Pokemon are just, they're so shitty that it's like, I have never gotten in a Poke fight.
Yeah.
I've never had a Poke fight. And I know I never will. You know, I'm just walking around collecting these stupid things.
You've got to catch them all.
And taking gyms.
I'm not taking any sort of... I haven't ever been in a Poke fight.
What's your favorite one so far?
I kind of like the bat. whatever the bat is.
Gulag?
I'm a big fan of...
Zubat?
Oh, yeah.
Abra. Zubat. Abra, it's... I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, Sleepy Abra.
Yeah.
Abra is cool.
I like Manchichi.
Manchichi.
Manky.
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 Manky's cool.
Whatever.
Not Manchichi, Kenny.
Manchichi.
I don't have any of those anymore because I evolved them all.
I evolved all of my Pokemon.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. I evolved.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense that you're all on Team Yellow. I'm just saying.
Look.
Remember how Jess came over last night? How was she when she came
over? A mess. Like she always is.
A mess.
Team Red.
Anyway.
Oh, Team Red makes a lot of sense now after your text the other night.
It has made me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Is that a period joke?
Yeah.
Hey! Whoa!
If everyone heard that, she almost broke her mic in order to hit me.
That's the only reason she's Team Red, so you can't tell when it flows.
Oh, my! I'm giving you... Which way is my mic face? I'm giving you all ball punches at the end of this.
I love Spinard's reaction. Is that a period joke?
I've heard about those.
From the Baroque period. Yes. Sorry, that was such a dad joke. I am so sorry.
Wow, you must be tired.
I am so tired.
You know, but it is making me feel anyway like I'm a lot more tech savvy. I fancy myself as being really tech savvy.
Yeah.
But I found myself being a lot more active with people on the internet because I'm socializing in real life.
Yeah.
Then I realized I'm trolling now. I don't mean to be, but the new Ghostbusters decided to sponsor a thing on Instagram. And the trailer came rolling by, and it was absolutely hilarious to see all the comments on this sponsored Instagram post. It way funnier than the movie's going to be, I'm sure. But it was, at the time, there were 441 comments. I read almost all of them, and it was all people just killing this movie. Did not have the desired effect by sponsoring somebody's Instagram feed, right?
Right.
Then I had to comment on the Ghostbusters. I totally gave away the ending. I told the whole plot of the movie. And people are like, thanks, dude! That was like, nobody got mad. And then I was like, oh, I'm that guy. Look what Pokemon has done. It's turned me into a troll. So then I felt bad. Then I tried to delete my own comment. Yeah, couldn't find it.
Usually your Instagram is like, hey, peace, love, you know, DJ live. It's all good.
My Instagram is all about plur. It's all very positive. And then here I am.
Not plural marriage. Just
no. Peace, love, unity, respect.
Yes.
And that's what Bash Music is all about. We want everybody to be able to come and feel welcome and... I just want it to be a very positive, welcoming environment, and that's kind of what my social media is too. I'm like the most not negative person on social media ever, I think. I'm the Mr. Rogers of social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and you have the kicks to prove it.
I'm the Doug Henning of social media. Five of you got that. But the five people that got that are like, Chunga is awesome. but it was really weird for me to go negative. And I blame Pokemon for it.
Really?
No, I blame the Ghostbusters for it. Man, that looks like a terrible movie. Have you seen this movie yet?
I saw it tonight.
What?
Oh, you actually saw it tonight.
Wait, you didn't take me to Ghostbusters?
Oh, knock it off.
You didn't want to go see this thing. Oh,
don't even.
Now you've done it.
Oh, stop it.
I thought she said, Kenny, do not take me to this movie.
Yeah, you said don't. You said, please don't. Aunt Flo's going to be in town. I'd rather not have the movie tainted by anything.
I didn't.
You said you had no intention of seeing it. Did you say you
were going to see it? You're going to see Ghostbusters.
I remember you telling me
it's going to suck, but I'm still going
to
see it.
Since you took me to the Shallows, you no longer have to take me to any movie ever again.
I don't think I said that.
That's exactly what you said. You said on text.
I don't think I said that.
All right, let's get to the point here because I am so excited for how just absolutely horrible this movie is going to be.
I'm going to make you wait.
Come on, man.
I'm going to make you wait.
Oh,
why?
I'm going to review another movie first.
Oh, you have two movies. Oh, cool. Okay. What else is coming out this week? What other terrible movie is coming out with the Ghostbusters?
Take it easy. You never know.
I'm sorry. You're right.
You never know. I do. So, oh, by the way, can I just add a small little apology now?
Yeah, you have an apology.
Stop stalling.
Castle, if you're listening, I want to say sorry.
Uh-oh.
What?
Sorry for not calling him when he had the cancer.
Oh. Come on.
And then not taking him to the movie that he asked for?
About 5 months ago, he requested that I take him to Star Trek Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
He's already mad at me. I know he's yelling.
Oh, no.
Way to go.
In fact, I'm not going to text him.
He's not yelling because he doesn't have the energy because of the cancer surgery.
But if you're a good friend, you'd know that.
But of course, you should know that.
Yeah.
He texted me today and he's like, hey, remember here about that movie? This is supposed to be coming out pretty soon. And I'm not going to text you back,
Castle. Did you take Joel?
It hasn't happened.
Oh, okay.
In fact, apparently it's not going to happen.
There will be no review of Star Trek.
Apparently they're not screening it.
Yikes.
Real worried.
Wow.
Right. So, Castle, if they hold the screening, keep your schedule open in the next week, but it may not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll just take Joel. I'm just kidding. I was just being mean.
That's mean.
That was a joke.
That's what you do going always right to me.
You got to take Castle. You have to take Castle because you can sit in the cool handicap seats. Come on, man. He's got to have his IV bag and his catheter and all that stuff.
Oh, he's got a catheter? No way.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he gives me a daily update on his catheter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for that dude.
Poor
he's
guy.
Just like, man, what I would kill everyone in this room for some eggs. He's like, seriously, the strength that man has, mad respect for Castle.
Yeah.
For what this battle that he's fighting, seriously.
If I could do anything for you, Castle, you let me know.
Well, you could take him to Star Trek.
You could take him to Star Trek when it opens and just pay for his ticket.
I would do that. Because it's not being screened, I will be seeing it when it opens.
So, for the record, Castle knows that we joke. Like he actually said, if you guys treat me like a normal person, I will never forgive you. So,
in fact, Coldfinger is his fault. I just want to say
it is his fault. That is his fault.
Yep.
So you haven't seen Star Trek. You're not going to see Star Trek. You're anticipating this is because it's terrible.
I'm worried, but we'll see. The first movie I want to talk about, get out of the way real quick, is called The Infiltrator. This one has Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's a lawman in the 1980s.
This looks terrible.
Hey, take it easy.
It does, dude. It looks all the way bad.
See, I actually didn't watch a trailer. I just went into the movie not really knowing what it was about other than being a cartel movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Bryan Cranston on the other
side. In a bad fake mustache.
It's the 80s, though.
Right.
And he is going undercover.
It looks like a bad Beastie Boys video.
It often appears that way.
Yep.
But it's fun because it's the 80s. So
did you like it?
Bad cars. It was... Not at first, because it felt a little forced, like a Beastie Boys video.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was such a slow burn, and it's a true story.
Okay.
About, you know, taking down, some cartel in the 80s.
Sure.
Right.
The Medellin? Was it the Medellin cartel?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And it was cool because it was a true story. It felt true because there wasn't all of a sudden, like, shocking things that would happen left and right. It was just, like, really tense. And so I'm kind of sitting there like, oh, this is crazy. The only problem is it felt a little too long. And, you know, by the end, I mean, I don't want to ruin anything, but it just kind of goes, eh.
I think a lot of people are going to go see it just because Bryan Cranston is in it and they didn't learn their lesson from Godzilla. Because Bryan Cranston was in that, too.
But he's actually in the whole movie, not just 4 minutes.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston is great. Diane Kruger's in it. She's fantastic.
I love Diane Kruger.
She's so good in the movie.
Love her.
You know, John Leguizamo.
She's in the Hot Babe
trifecta,
can I just tell you?
She should be.
Do people know who Diane Kruger is?
They should. She's in Troy, if you haven't seen that.
She was Helen of Troy.
She's a national
treasure. She's Nicolas Cage's, I guess, love interest in National Treasure.
Oh, okay.
She was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's awesome. And so for the cast alone, this is really good. Benjamin Bratt plays one of the leaders of the cartel.
Wow, he's still getting work?
Yeah. I mean, he's good.
Well, of course he is. It's a cartel.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's quite good in the movie. The movie feels like a cable film. But, like, honestly, it's well done enough, so I would watch it on cable. Like, you know, I'd watch this again.
Yeah, it probably should have been a Netflix original.
Yes.
Rather than
like
a
really good Netflix original. Yeah. So I give this movie a B. Like, it actually won me over.
You gave it a B.
I give it a B.
That's a pretty good review for a Netflix original.
Like, don't go see it in the theater, but, like, if it were on Netflix, watch it, you know, right when it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called The Infiltrator.
All right, now. Now. This is going to be awesome, Jess. Or Takara, you ready? I had to wake her
up. You knew that giant yawn was coming.
I did.
Oh, does it make you sleepy?
Guys, I'm so tired.
Everybody's tired. No.
Not me.
Everybody's...
Shut up, Kenny. You are too.
Wake up, Spinari.
Huh?
All right, let's get to this, because this is going to be... I predict this is going to be the next Waterworld. This is going to be the next Ishtar. this is going to be one of the worst films ever made. This is what I'm predicting.
Okay.
Feminazi agenda film that everybody ends up hating. You're going to see Melissa McCarthy mercifully retire because of this.
If only.
Yeah, because it's just that awful. Am I right?
I'm sorry to say that you were wrong.
What? Shut up.
Yeah, there's a site.
Wait.
We knew you were going to do this.
I know.
You hipster, what do you mean? Bastard.
Yeah.
We knew you were going to go hipster on it and just zig when other people zag for the sake of just being...
What? Like, all of a sudden I'm going to love this movie?
You're going to defend it.
Because everyone wants to...
We were afraid, honestly, we talked last night when we were Pokemon hunting, that you were going to come in and go, you know what? The all-chick Ghostbusters is actually really good.
For what it is...
Nobody is going to believe you.
For what it is, it's an okay film. That's what you're going to say.
Is that what you're going to say?
For what it is...
Let's stop.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to stop.
Could you quit putting words in my mouth?
I know. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. This is your actual legit review, and we will be quiet.
You don't have to. But I'm just saying, you're wrong, because there's a site that apparently rates movies by tomatoes or something like that. I don't really check it anymore.
We don't follow that, no, because that's the...
It's garbage, but someone
told
me... It's
a garbage site.
Someone told me this movie has a 76% on that site.
Well, you predicted that it would.
Oh, you predicted that. Yes.
You said because all of these guys, they're so ultra-liberal, and because they want to zig when other people zag, they're going to say that the new Ghostbusters is phenomenal and everybody in it is wonderful.
And if anyone, doesn't look at Twitter as much as I do about this kind of movie stuff, basically, the trailers came out, there was so much hate, and everyone said... You only hate this movie because
you're sexist. Yeah.
And there are sexists out there for sure. But you know what? There are also people who love the original and think, why make a reboot and why make it look so bad?
Yeah.
Like, I'm more on the train of like...
And why do the agenda casting? Look, it's not sexist. If you're doing a reboot of the movie, I could see the mixed cast maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
But why an all-woman cast? Why do you have to do that? And I'm sure there's somebody out there going, well, why an all-men cast? Because it was 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could see a chick on it or a couple of women on it or whatever. But this was clearly an agenda casting. It was novelty casting at its worst.
Yeah. So this movie is very, very funny to people that haven't seen very many movies.
You suck so bad. I almost passed out.
Okay.
I was waiting for... I was seriously like, oh, don't. Please don't. Because that would say, I now know nothing about movies,
mm-hmm.
is what that's going to say. If you came in and said, this is a really funny movie, I was like, I wouldn't have believed you.
I talked to a kid who, really nice guy, he went to the LA premiere last week. Okay. And I'm like, so, what'd you think? You're seeing it again? He's like, I'll just say this, the trailers really just, they sold the wrong movie. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that.
It gave us hope.
And for the first 15 minutes, I sat there and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of okay with this intro. And that was actually a little bit creepy.
You know what's funny is that's what I've heard from a lot of people, is that the first 15 minutes is actually really good.
Yeah, no, and I was...
Until the actors show up.
Well, no, I was even fine with the actors because they kind of... It's still toned down. They're not being themselves.
Uh-huh.
And then they try to actually tell a story in the movie, and it goes... completely bonkers, and not bonkers in a good way. And so, with this kid saying the trailer sold the wrong movie, the trailer was the movie. All that was left out was really hollow jokes.
Okay.
Lifeless jokes.
Yeah.
Paul Feig, he's done Bridesmaids, Spy, The Heat, and so he's very comfortable with Melissa McCarthy, very comfortable with R-rated comedy. And
he's an asshole.
Well, sure.
He makes bad movies.
I don't like the guy.
No, I mean, he says, oh, you don't like my trailer? It's because you're sexist. Like, give me a break, blanket statement.
We don't like it because it sucks.
And so, but he knows how to make R-rated comedies, especially feminine R-rated comedies, mm-hmm. that honestly I don't love all of them all the way through, but they are funny. And he knows R-rated comedy, but he doesn't know PG-13 comedy.
Okay.
And it felt like he was kind of like tiptoeing around. They're like, hey, first 5 minutes. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
And this is even when I'm still liking the movie.
Uh-huh.
Hey, listen to the CVP. Okay. Let me listen. And then they play the tape, and all of a sudden it goes...
Pfft. What?
And it was a fart on an EVP.
You're kidding.
And they said, you put your nose right really close to that tape player. And then the girl goes, Kate McKinnon goes, oh, that would you believe that was actually from the front? So they made a queef joke in the first 5 minutes.
What? You what?
You love it. You want to see this movie. You're all the way in.
You get my 8 bucks.
Feminism at its finest.
Right? You're loving it. You just love the word queef.
No, it's I love you saying it. Because number one, it's common usage. Does everybody know what that word is?
I don't know if they do anymore.
I mean,
I said it all the time in seventh grade. Dude, Nate's such a queef. My apology to every Nate out there.
Yeah, there's a couple of...
Does that even make sense to call someone?
Everybody I've ever met named Nate is cool.
Nate?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a bad choice.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Corey's such a queef.
There you go.
Plus you had alliteration, which is great. So they tell a Q joke right at the
beginning. Yeah, Q?
Is that like a vulgarity? Is
what?
It?
I can't say it.
No, please say it.
No.
Please say it. You can't.
Nope.
Spinari, say it.
I don't want to.
Wait, he won't let me.
No son of mine.
Wait, and you let me say it?
Queef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. The first 5 minutes?
Yeah. Takara, will you say it?
I love how something as juvenile as a fart joke turned into a queef joke.
I can't believe that. You know what that tells me as kind of a writing nerd? Somebody who's written 5 movies?
Mm-hmm.
He's got nothing. I mean, right out of the shoot, he's got nothing. No pun intended. He's got nothing.
You're right. Here's what he has. He has a template for the original Ghostbusters movie. Because believe it or not, this is not a sequel. This is a remake/reboot.
I think that's where a lot of people are not understanding this.
It's
as though the first one never took place, right?
Exactly.
Right.
No one's ever seen a ghost. And so we have, you know, Kristen Wiig, who is trying to avoid, you know, the knowledge of ghosts because she wants to be a professor. And meanwhile, her buddies are like, hey, no, ghosts are real. Come investigate. And so she has to accept, you know, being on this team of ghost hunters. And then as the movie goes on, they kind of gain popularity while the, you know, everyone in politics is like, no, ghosts don't exist. And it's the first movie, but just it's like a truckload of hollow jokes.
Ugh.
That don't land.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth shows up.
Yeah.
Is this kind of bimbo secretary guy.
Yeah.
Mimbo, I think they would call
himbo.
It. Himbo.
Himbo.
And he shows up and he is the dumbest guy on the planet. And it's kind of funny until the movie just uses that as a crutch. Because they know he's the funniest thing
Chris
in the movie.
Chris Hemsworth is the funniest part of this movie?
Black Hat himself.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, it's funny for like 3-4 minutes. And then it's just like, it's used throughout the movie where you're like, okay. And it actually ruins Kristen Wiig's character because she's kind of a cool character, and then she just goes gaga every time he's on screen. You know, she's like, oh, hi. And I'm going, okay, so what are you doing with this? There's a villain who I thought was kind of cool.
As you're telling this, I'm expecting Tim Allen to come walking in. Yeah, like Tim Allen's going to make a cameo.
If he
Ray
did,
Romano is going to show up and do something.
The audience would have gone crazy because that, as I'm watching this, I'm going, look. You know, look, Kenny D, take yourself out of it, man.
Yeah.
Don't be so cynical.
Well, like, that's what we tried to get you to do.
That's what was happening the first 15 minutes. And then I was like, this story is so stupid. And then, you know, either don't explain the science behind what you're doing or do. And they go halfway and they're like, nuclear proton packs and reverse the polarity of the spiritual realm. And okay. And then Kate McKinnon, who everyone is loving, by the way, is basically Harpo Marx up on screen where she does a funny face and she goes, what? And then the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, they're mugging. They call that mugging.
In the
actor world, they're the mugging for the camera.
Characters were so tonally different that I didn't seem like they were a group at all. Melissa McCarthy is the most just even kill one in the cast, and it feels like she's falling asleep. Like, she's like, wait, what movie am I in now? Okay, this... Mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig, after about 15 minutes, starts playing an SNL character. Leslie Jones is Leslie Jones.
Mm-hmm.
The stereotypical loud black woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, why... The agenda casting here... And the, honestly, the cast are the most talented part of the movie. Because the writing's bad. The chemistry is, well, not great.
You know, if I were one of these ladies... And the CG is horrible. Especially if I were Leslie Jones. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to be an actor and be stereotypically cast.
Yeah.
It's, you go through this. I went through it when I was acting. I was a cop in everything I played because I'm a big, tall guy. I'm a big, tall white guy. And so I couldn't get, it was really hard for me to get roles where I wasn't an FBI agent or a CIA agent or a cop or something to do with government or law enforcement. That was every role I played. Because that's just they, you know, and it pisses me off that in a creative field like this, you have a director, writer, casting directors, what have you, that just don't have a bigger scope of vision than, oh, you're a large black woman.
Yes.
Act like a very loud, obnoxious, large black woman. If I were Leslie Jones, it would have been hard for me to take this role. Honestly, it would have been like, you know, give me something good. You know, this is shit.
It seemed like a movie that they just wanted to pal around and have a good time with each other because they're all funny women.
Yeah.
Not in this movie, but they're all, you know, separately funny women. About every 15 minutes, they would make a reference to the original Ghostbusters and it would bring the movie.
What?
To a screeching halt.
To a screeching halt.
You can't do that if the original Ghostbusters doesn't exist.
Right?
Right on the nose.
It almost there wants it to. It's weird that they didn't just make this a sequel. In fact, I think audiences would appreciate it more if they said 30 years ago this thing went down. That's kind of a weird government thing, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And then they were kind of passing the torch because when you see the cameos of the original cast members.
From a writing standpoint, do you know how easy that would be to do?
So easy.
You have four ladies. They work together in the New York library where the first ghost was seen in the original movie. Something happens. They become real. They want to become Ghostbusters like the original guys. They seek out the original guys. They learn how to do it, and then they try to go off on their own, and boom, you've got a movie that is probably halfway decent.
What happened,
it's
though?
It's so easy to do.
Is Paul Feig, when he took this the role of director, because Sony really wanted him, in fact, this came out during the Sony hacks, is he said, I'm not making your Ghostbusters movie unless you let me make this completely original Ghostbusters movie with an all-female cast.
Yeah, because Paul Feig is an asshole.
He totally is.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... Okay, look, he's fine in his vein, in his R-rated comedy vein. They're not funny movies.
I mean, they're okay.
Right, like Bridesmaids for the first like hour and a half is very funny, I feel.
It ran out of steam, really.
I hated Bridesmaids.
I liked it for like the first half hour, and then it really ran out of steam.
See, I liked it up until the last, you know, third.
Okay.
It is just overly long, but this was not the movie he should have tried to reinvent. Because either it's pandering, I mean, I will
it's
say...
It's a classic.
The audience clapped when they saw cameos of these big people. You see Bill Murray in a completely wasted cameo, and people were freaking out, and I'm like...
Well, they loved him in Zombieland, too. It was the same kind of thing.
Well, Zombieland, that was actually a really good cameo.
Yeah. Right. That was good writing.
This one, I was like, what in the world? Why did he do this? Is he messing with us? Because he knows this movie sucks?
No, he probably got 5-6 points on the back end, which isn't going to mean anything. Because this movie is going to suck so bad.
So this movie is being projected to make $50 million at the domestic box office this weekend. I think they're... And which is weird. Ghostbusters 2016 should not make $50 million. It should make way higher. But I think they're setting it the bar.
Especially
right there.
Especially because of the time of year it's released and everything else.
This is a cluster. I was watching it, like I said, going, okay, it's fine, it's fine, it's a summer movie.
You're going to leave all your prejudice at the door.
But the last 20 minutes is so brainless and so messy that I said, no, F you, movie. Like, that's so stupid.
I just want to give it away. I know the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Because people are not going to, it's not going to matter. So instead of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man...
Plenty of people in our audience that will see this movie and enjoy it. I promise you.
Mm-mm. I have faith in our audience that they are not going to enjoy this
movie. I can name people on my hand that will enjoy this movie.
Phil. Phil's the only one that's going to... He's the only one that's going to like it.
There are others.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is no longer in this movie.
It's a hot air balloon.
It's now the Ghostbusters logo. They have to fight their own logo at the end. And they kill it by shooting it in the dick with their lasers.
Yeah.
Roll the credits.
Really?
They shoot it in the
Well, there's
with
something
their
else that happens that it's actually worse than that.
Oh, jeez.
It's
How
dumber.
Could you get worse than that?
It's dumber than that. More dumb.
Wow.
Look, I will say the crowd was going crazy. There was a positive reception.
The crowd was going crazy.
It was a vocal minority, though. There were the cheerleaders who were like, yeah, take that, men. Like, honestly, even me saying this, I'll be called sexist. It's just not a good movie.
Listen, just be, you know, you got to be able to just call it like you see it. You got to call a spade a spade and go, look, this is agenda casting. People have had enough of it. They had to go back and reshoot 40%+ of Rogue One because the reaction to the trailer was so horrible. People are just done with agenda casting. They don't want it. You're seeing the pendulum swing back the
you
other
know,
way.
Honestly, I it wouldn't even be noticed if the writing was good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a way. Had you not picked Paul Feig, yes. Had you gotten somebody, had you grabbed a different director, Paul Greengrass, for example.
Awesome.
And it would have been, and had the writing been done differently, had you worked the women card a little bit better, it totally would
have
worked.
And here's the thing, like the original Ghostbusters, you know, you have Dan Aykroyd, who's kind of a zany character, but then you have like, you know, Egon and, you know, everyone else.
Yes.
They're Ghostbusters. There are jokes happening. It's a very, very funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, we've got a job to do. And it's kind of silly that we're putting on this get-up.
It's a good story,
it's
man.
A great story.
It's just it's my story. Favorite movie in this of movie, all time.
In this movie?
It's one of mine, too.
It's my all-time favorite. Nothing will ever beat out Ghostbusters
That's a
for
good
me.
Choice, honestly.
Like, every person in this movie is in on the joke. They're like, oh, we're in a Ghostbusters movie. And hopefully you men hate it so we can call you names. Everyone's in on the joke. No one feels natural. No one feels sincere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy that isn't funny.
Once upon a time, when Ellen came out of the closet, comedian Ellen DeGeneres came out of the closet, she had the most popular sitcom on TV.
Mm-hmm.
She came out of the closet, and when she did, all of a sudden, all of the other characters on the show were stupid and didn't understand gay people. Now, I want you to think back to the beginning of this show when I said I'm very liberal. I am very, very, am I gay friendly? I would say yes.
Yeah.
That's a huge chunk of Minus Minari's audience are gay, you know, the LGBT community. We have a member of a couple of members of that community that work here at Pod Bash. I'm very gay friendly. So you have to understand that. But I'm also one of these people that I don't like to be insulted by your dumb stereotypes. And when Ellen did this and she shifted her sitcom, everybody on the show was stupid and didn't understand gay people. And that's where she decided to take the comedy. And it failed instantly.
Yeah.
I remember having Ellen on the show. And she and I got into it about that. And then when she got off the air, she was like, well, hey, let me seriously ask you this. You really think it's like she put on her business hat after the interview was over with and said, wait a minute. You really don't think this is going to work? This isn't some sort of weird kind of social bias. I'm like, no, this is just business. People are not going to like this because they feel like you're insulting them. It feels insulting when you're watching it. That's what I think when I watch the trailer for this. It feels insulting to me.
Mm-hmm.
To watch it like I'm that stupid that I'm gonna buy this, and I think that's where people are gonna go with this.
You know, it's a summer movie. It'll be generally pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gonna be a massive success. I hope it never sees a sequel.
You know, we are your friends with Zac Efron, the big DJ movie. DJs are really popular.
Oh, yeah,
everybody's gonna go see this because Zac Efron's in it. It's gonna be a great movie. They predicted, I think, $45 to $55 million opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It made $3,000. $3,000. People are way too media savvy now. I will be very surprised if Ghostbusters makes $50 million.
Give me.
I'll be surprised if it does. I predict a massive epic flop here.
Official grade D+.
Wow, that's. I think you're being generous.
I knew you'd think so.
I think lot of people that are hearing
it. It had me. You know, for the first 50 minutes, and I chuckled a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as an experiment, not just, like, as a reboot, but, like, calling yourself Ghostbusters, like, there's no way to remove yourself from the history, especially when you reference the history, especially with all
and
the characters.
And have the same logo.
The whole time.
Yeah.
But it's a D+.
Hmm.
Skip it.
Totally skip it. Don't waste your money on it. Plus, we just told you the ending. The logo gets shot in the dick with a laser. Wow. I picture Ralphie from A Christmas Story when he's writing his theme.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there going, okay, and then I'm going to have the Ghostbusters logo, and he's going to come down the street, and they're going to shoot him in the dick with the laser. Wow, that's great.
Oh, and I'm just saying this. I'll spoil this for people, too. Yeah, exactly. You know, you'll shoot your eye out, kid?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
that's great. You know the guns? What are they? Photons? Protons?
The proton packs?
Proton packs.
I think I called it a positron thing in my trolling. I got it wrong.
The positron pack.
Yeah.
What is it? Proton?
It's
you said
proton pack.
I keep calling it photon. I don't know why.
That's weird. Yeah.
So the proton packs. They explained just like the original. Those guns are stabilizers, so they can set a trap and catch a ghost. Right.
Right.
Yeah. They explain that in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Until like the last street fight, when they each of them have their own personalized guns, and basically if you shoot someone with protons at that point, the ghosts evaporate. I guess. Because the movie needs it to happen.
What?
Yeah.
So you can't catch the ghosts?
No, you can in the movie until the movie needs to do its own thing and just kill the ghosts.
Okay.
So basically, that's what I was saying. This. The last 20 minutes, you're like, are you just trying to rush to the end? Like, what's going on here? Like,
yeah.
What?
Wow.
And that's when my hate was just like, and sealed.
And that was it. That's when you'd had enough.
Yes.
Okay.
It was tedious and it was boring.
And still got a D plus.
You still got a D plus?
Kenny.
Like, that's a good score.
Kenny.
I think you're going to say D.
You want me to say D?
I think you're being generous, man.
I think
man.
You are.
I'm worried about hate mail.
For this? Come on,
maybe.
Man.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, that's not a surprise.
I have three sisters. I was raised watching Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I just want to put that out there.
Yep.
Not a total sexist.
Kenny's basically a girl.
Listen, I don't think anybody listening to this right now is thinking that we're sexist. I think people are, if anything, looking at it going, you guys are being way too artistic. If there's a critique to be made of us, they're saying you guys are being way too art-farty about a Ghostbusters movie.
It's true. Because that's it's a summer movie.
I think that's really the only legitimate criticism that somebody would have. Yeah. It has nothing to do with sexist. It's people being fed up with agenda casting. And I don't like it if it's male agenda casting or female agenda casting. It's just dumb.
And honestly, that's not my problem with the movie. It's just not good.
That's totally where I'm coming from. Yeah. If it's bad acting, bad writing, if it's an ugly baby, it's an ugly baby. Who cares what the reasons are?
Yep.
So, okay. Well, that's...
So I'm glad I reminded you of who I am.
Thank you, Kenny. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry for thinking, you thinking I was a hipster.
Well, we were worried. Honestly, three of us
kind of are.
We were worried that you were going to come in and go, you know what? It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I would think to myself, he's only saying this because he doesn't want to be that guy.
Sony has been accused of plants, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sony can't afford to have this thing suck.
Nope.
They really can't. Sony's had a lot of real stinkers. And they've got a smartphone that nobody buys. It's really the PlayStation that
the PlayStation's keeping them afloat.
Yeah. And their headphone market was killed by Beats, and it goes on. Sony's not doing well, and for a guy who spent a lot of time on that lot, they have been hurting for a while. Watching people walk around just staring at their shoes on the Sony, it's depressing. Oh. It's like being in a movie version of a coal mine. but I, you know, they don't have the cartilage to have a shitty movie like this.
Yes.
And I think this is going to be that, sadly. So we'll see. We'll see how it comes out.
Yeah.
So anything else? No, nothing else?
Yeah, that's it.
This weekend on Bash Music, it's yours truly and Joey Snow. Really, really excited for this Bash Music. Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. The 24th of July, people are asking us about the 24th of July. Are we going to be doing the commentary? Are you guys going to be working? Can we actually pull this off? I don't know. It's somewhat up in the air. We will let you know if we can actually make that happen.
Is the 24th a Sunday?
It is.
Yeah, so it's on a Saturday.
Are they doing it on a Saturday?
They're observing it on a Saturday.
They're doing the parade on a Saturday? Because I thought they were doing it on a Monday.
I heard it was on a Monday, too.
We'll check on it. We'll let you know. If it's on a weekend, we'll do it, no problem. If it's not, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll let you know. Stay tuned.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
And thanks for making Podbash as popular as it is. Listen to all the shows, will you? And thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody have a great rest of your week, and deuces.
This is the Radio Ronin Show on Podbash.com.